It's late, and you've been working on that for 2 days.
Gail, we need to talk about this. I think I've figured it out, but we have to be on the same page with our finances.
You did a budget?
Well, yeah. I started with what we make and what we've been spending, and there are some places we need to cut back.
Wow. I didn't realize. I mean, wow.
This has just been eating at me for a long time. And I owe you an apology. I was a big part of the problem. I've been spending way more than I figured. I'm sorry, Gail.
Thank you for doing this. Tomorrow we'll look at this together. But it's late now, and you need some rest.
You know what? You can't manage what you can't measure. You've got to measure if you want to manage. That's true of anything in life. And that's what you heard in that clip. A couple saying, hey, we got to get this stuff down on paper so we can talk about it. Do you have it on paper about your money, your expenses, your income, enough that you can be on the same page? If you do, praise the Lord and you sit back and enjoy the next half hour. If you're not, we're going to challenge you and help you. Be intentional with your money. Who are we? I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, along with Jennifer and Stephen from our Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, coming to you on our podcast and on radio here and around the world, streaming and people listening everywhere. And glad to have you be a part of the show. And today we're going to talk about one of the essential areas of life. We talk about money, the power of money, the impact of money in our life. And many of you know the name Dave Ramsey. He's sort of built his whole career and his it's a huge business that he's built around this topic of money. So obviously, it's a big topic. He said that when couples work together financially, they grow stronger emotionally. And we know the research is true on that. I like what Richard DeVos says. Now, Richard DeVos is the founder, co-founder of Amway. He's a rich guy. Okay? He's got more than you and me combined many, many times. He made this statement, money cannot buy peace of mind. It cannot heal ruptured relationships or build meaning into life that has none. So, and he's a believer. He's a Christian, strong in his faith. And he's reminding us that, yeah, if you've been blessed with money, that's fantastic. You can use it. You can be generous. You can impact people. But don't find that you're going to fix your relationships or give you meaning or give you peace of mind, because it will not. Which really, I think Jonathan Swift made an interesting statement. He said, a wise man or woman should have money in his head or their head, but not in their heart. Wow, I like that one. Because really, money is a math problem. But boy, when it starts to dominate our emotions, allowing it to be controlling, how damaging can that be? All right, let's get to the callers. You can share your story at 888-888-1717 on our storyline. We start with Danielle in Arizona. Danielle, what's your story?
So we got pregnant with our son before we got married, and my husband was wanting to be a basketball coach, but not there yet. And I'm a nurse, so I already had a good, stable job. And we got married, and our account is joined, but his debit card goes to his, and my debit card goes to mine. And he transfers about one of his job's paychecks over to my account, so it's about $900 a month. And I take his $900 along with what I make, which is probably a third more than what he makes. And I do all the saving. I pay all the bills. I know my credit score. I've paid off almost all our debt, not including our car and some student loans, but all of our credit card debt. But I'm feeling he's never checked his credit. And he doesn't do any of the saving or any of the helping with paying the bills. And I know that I'm probably better at that, but I'm feeling a little frustrated because I'm pregnant with a second child and I'm going to have to go down to part-time. And he's going to have to make up for that. And I'm a little worried that I do all the saving and paying up the bills, that maybe I am enabling him a little. Or,
well,
you know, we want to buy a house, and
it sounds like maybe the two of you just haven't really talked this through and have any sort of plan.
I've said, you know, I would like it if you would take over the bill paying, or so you know what the bills are, so that when I go part time, you can do that. And I've also asked him to check his credit, but he has not done any of that, nor transferred any of his money to our savings account.
Listen, you know, Danielle, I hear your heart. You sound like a sweetheart and gentle spirit, but that's terribly disrespectful of your husband to blow that off, frankly. And he may have some reasons he's doing that, emotional or otherwise. But we get right back to the Bible. I mean, I get right back to Scripture. Intentional living is God's intention. And you read in Ecclesiastes 4 that two are better than one because they have a good return for their work, because they're on the same page working on the same project. Have you ever noticed when you work on a project together, it goes quicker? If you're cleaning the house or if you're working in the yard or I don't know, whatever it is, when you guys work together, things get done quicker. There's power in that. And this is true with money as well. And so not being on, not only not on the same page, but even knowing which page you want to be on is a really big issue. So from a practical standpoint, I think there are times in our relationship where we have to set off a siren, a warning. We got a problem. And the warning may be this, Danielle. Honey, I'm going to have another baby. I can't work as many hours as I do. My income is dropping. Here are the numbers. You write them out. Lay them in front of him and say, I'd love to talk these through. When you're ready, come and talk to me, because in about 45 days, this is going to blow up in our face if we don't deal with it. And then back away. What you're doing, Danielle, when you do that, listen to me. This is really a big thing with intentional living. You got to get outside of you got to stay in your circle of control. You can control what you can do. And what you're doing is you're going to influence your husband by putting in front of him the reality of what you're going to face in about 45 days if some things don't get done. Credit report, more income, analyzing our budget, and doing these things. And then see what happens. I would hope that we could all be mature enough to grow up and see we got a need, we got to jump in and do something. Okay? All right. Thank you, Danielle. Let's go to Leanne. In Arkansas, what's your one thing for your money today?
I'm 30 years old, so I'm in that younger generation. And something that helps me is I'm bad on my sodas. You know, when you go to a store, sodas are $2, $3 here in Arkansas, and do four or five of them a day, they add up. At the end of the day, you're like, man, I spent $30 on what? On
That's
sodas.
Right.
So I am very intentional on remembering how much I spend in a day, and if I... Because right now what we do is we actually buy a 12-pack of 16-ounce sodas, and I make that last me all week instead of going and buying sodas every day.
Plus, it's healthier for you.
And even though I go through a lot still, it makes it a little bit cheaper on me. So intentionally knowing where you spend your money and how you can cut back on that amount of money to still get what you want will help you save money in the long
run. You know, it's been said if we take care of the dollars, the tens and twenties and hundreds will take care of themselves, learning to be intentional. Now, is this something, are you married? Is this something you and your spouse, are you pretty good about talking about money and have a handle on it and a budget or measuring it?
Every Friday we sit down and we do our budget and we do our bills. We both get paid separate. He does self-employment and I work at a factory in Arkansas. So our payments a little bit different, but we always say, hey, this is what we got to pay this week. This is what we got left over. And he's real good about putting money in his savings account and in his lockbox. And then I have a lockbox as well. And we kind of do that. We have our own savings that's separate. And then we have our savings together for what we need and what we know that's going to come up in the future.
Yeah. Well, think about it, Leanne. You just did the math listening to the show today. I mean, you're saying a $3 soda of something, which is expensive, by the way, but $3 soda, you do five a day? That's a whole nother issue we should talk about. But anyway, yeah, I did the math. That's $450 a month. That's a lot of money. What would you do an extra $450 a month times 12? Do the math. You know, you're talking $5,000 or something a year just on that one thing. You know what? If you and I sat down, come on, let's be honest. We sit down and look at our budget and we start putting it on paper. When we look at the expenses on all of the streaming services that we have and the digital things and technology things, you just run the budget and you're going to see it. I bet you're going to see it's pretty significant unless you've gotten on top of it and you do know, right? And so we're talking about the power of money today and being intentional. You ever go out to dinner? I know some of you are able to do that. And when you do, you ever notice? I think restaurants have learned a secret because of the cost and potential for inflation, they added on to the drink. So if you get an iced tea at a restaurant, you could be like $2.50, $3, $3.50. You know, what are the pennies to make that? I'm so cheap. I've always wondered. My wife said I can't do it, but bring your own. Can't do that. Okay. All right. Some of you are saying, well, you couldn't. I do. Sneak it in, right? Okay. Let's take a break. We're going to be back. We're talking money today. Got more help, more stories from Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Nobody likes being out of control, but no one can control everything. And the circle of things we can control is actually pretty small.
How we deal with this circle of controlling ourselves is going to impact everything else in our life. I believe that 95% of our success in life, spiritually, relationally, in our marriages and our family, is in this circle.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Circles of Control, he talks about the issue of control and how we can live a better life by having the right perspective on what we control. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Circles of control. You heard me comment about that. This is something I've taught over the years, but put it down on audio for you as our lesson for this month. I think it's a really powerful reminder that we control very little, but what we do, we're responsible for. Change your life in lots of ways. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the lesson. It's made possible because of the generous support, financial support of people who are supporting the ministry and praying for us every day. We thank you so much for what you're doing to be a part of the ministry support for Intentional Living. Today, we're talking about money and finance and how it impacts your marriage and your family. And Stephen was commenting during the break how Intentional Living's made a difference with his money. How so?
I think the big one was have an emergency fund, because we, Susan and I, have always been tithers and giving to missionaries.
Yeah,
and
you're
churches
very generous,
and even intentional life.
Yeah, you do.
But the emergency fund was something that you really got my attention about. And when we started doing that, then we also did one other thing. We also did a 13th month on our mortgage, and so 7 years ago, we paid off our mortgage.
Good for you.
Good. And we've got a we've got a big could call it a big pile of money, but we've got a bunch. We've done a bunch of stuff, but we've paid cash for everything.
Yeah.
We put in a new flooring. We put in a new kitchen. We put in painted the whole house. We're putting in new windows.
Oh.
But we've been able to because we took that emergency fund and just kept pouring into it, and that's what's paying for all the upgrades in our house.
Good. That's good. And I know you had some damage, so it's kind of a water damage. They're able to do that. That's great. Thank you, Stephen.
Yep.
And Stephen, Susan, they're very generous people. But it's a lesson, again, a little bit over an extended period of time. It can change your life. See, this is what we're talking about. The power of money, being intentional with money, learning to use it in a way that will honor Christ. Wow. That's powerful. All right, let's move on. I think it's Nikki who's up next, right? Nikki is from Michigan. What's your question for me, Nikki?
I'm wondering how you don't let financial issues interfere with your marriage.
They are, obviously, right?
Yes, big time right now.
Okay, is it lack of communication, do you think?
No, I think there's a lot of communication still. It's just a lot of arguing because
So there isn't good communication. There's communication, but it's not productive. It's not going anywhere.
It's not healthy.
All right. So we have communication. We just don't have productive communication. It sounds like a lot of what's going on in Washington.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know about the rest. I don't know about you, but I think there's a lot of Americans like me are thinking, you know, why can't you get some people into a room and say, that's our goal. This is the thing we need to solve, and then we resolve it. And what happens is there's a lot of communication going on, a lot of talking going on, but not a lot of resolving of things going on. And this can permeate in our marriages as well. Would we say, Nikki, that you're not on the same page as far as your goals for your money?
No, I think we're both on the same goal. I just think we're both getting frustrated because we're not hitting that goal fast enough.
So what is the goal?
To get out of debt the way we are right now.
All right, so one of you is thinking that's the goal and you're spending too much and the other doesn't think so?
No, we both think so. I myself just started working again, and that's going to help. It's just not helping fast enough.
So what's the argument about?
Just how we're going to get out of the hole that we're in.
Okay, is there blaming going on from the past?
No, not blaming. I think just more guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we both feel guilty for us being in the situation that we're in.
Yeah. Well, as I hear you, I'm a little confused. I think you guys are kind of wrestling with, hey, we're on the same page. We both kind of want the same thing, but we're not getting there quickly enough. And there's a lot of emotion going on in this. And what I'd encourage you guys to do is to really get, you know, pencil to paper, really sit down and say, hey, we got to forget those things which are behind, as Paul said, and we're going to press toward the goal. And our goal right now is in this period of time. Listen, it might be 6 months, might be a year, might be 5 years, but you set a goal that's reasonable based on where you are and what you're doing to say, that's our goal and we're going to work on it, measure it along the way, rejoice, celebrate, do things that keep you encouraged in the process. What I hear is you both kind of said, yeah, we want to do this, but maybe we're feeling guilty and you just got to deal with it. Money's a math problem, but it gets to become a problem when it becomes a heart issue. And when it becomes a heart issue, it damages the relationship. It really can. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let me go to Mike. You're next. Thanks for waiting there in Michigan. What's your story about money, Mike?
Oh, I've been blessed more than I deserve. You know, God is always good. Speaking of budgeting and in a marriage, you know, me and my wife met 6 years ago. I am, you know, her third husband. She's been through a lot. We've both been through a lot, but God has graced us with financial security. I was listening to your radio broadcast a few minutes ago, and living within your means. Don't, you know, you get a raise at work, don't go and buy the new car. Don't go and buy, you know, the newest TV. Don't go, you know, live within your means, budget. We have a set budget that we have for the household. And God has blessed us to pay our tithes that we're supposed to. And we put that in our budget to make sure that you guys stay on the radio. I did the Family Life Radio.
The Share Week, yeah.
The Share Week. Mm-hmm. I paid my tithings to you guys. And God has blessed me in the last week with two new jobs.
Wow.
Everybody just needs to trust in the Lord. Trust that He will provide. And I guess the biggest word that we all struggle with is control. We don't have any control. We just need to relinquish the control to Him and let Him figure everything out, because we're never going to figure everything out in this lifetime.
As I mentioned, the Bible says man makes his plans, but God decides the outcome. So another theological truth, we control inputs when it comes to our life, our decisions, our habits, our words, but we are not in charge of the outcome. And that's one of the points I think we get into trouble, is because not only do I want to control what I do, really what I want to do is control what you do. And when you don't do what I think you should do, I miss the point that the Bible says you can make all your plans,
You can make your plans for your ministry. You can make your plans for your churches. You can make your plans for your money. You can make your plans for your health. But ultimately, God is still in charge. And that's a theological reality that we need to understand in this process of control.
Yeah, you know, the circles of control, we're very limited, and we even finances within that. I mean, we can make a decision what we spend, what we don't spend. I mean, this is an area of control. But like I said in that clip, we don't always have control of what's going on around us. You don't know what's happening in the economy or what's going to happen with prices or what some emergency is going to blow up in your family or your face that you didn't know about, or change in health or employment or whatever. And that's why we talk about the practical things of building into your life some reserves, emergency fund, and those kinds of things. But at the end of the day, in your marriage, you guys want to have a stronger marriage. Get on the same page. I don't care how deep the pit is. Be in the pit together. All right? Crawl out of it together. Step on each other's shoulders and lift each other out of the pit. Working together is a whole lot better than standing on the top looking down and saying, well, how in the world did you get us into this mess? Agree that we shouldn't be here. We're here, and let's work on it. Interesting verse, Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. I love that verse because you ever notice that, you know, lottery winners? I mean, the research is pretty clear. The percentage of lottery winners that end up broke is pretty significant. They blow the money because it's a hasty winning, right? There it is. But it's a little bit over an extended period of time that makes the biggest difference. That's what we're talking about, how to be intentional with your money. By the way, thank you for those of you who are sharing some small part with us, helping us continue to do intentional living. Your support monthly on an auto basis is a huge help. Thank you. Come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717.
I just wanted to share one of my acts of intentional living with my finances is to do the majority of my shopping at secondhand stores when there is so much already produced in the world, because we're already, especially in the United States, we're already a culture of overabundance. And so shopping at secondhand stores for the majority of my items is what I tend to do.
One thing that we're doing to intentionally grow our faith is not to worry anymore about our finances. When there are things that we need, that if we pray and believe God, He has provided every time. We work hard and we do our best to be good stewards of the money. We trust God and we watch Him do great things.
Yeah, there you go. And the key word there, we and trust, right? We trust. And that doesn't mean we just sit. We work, we're smart, we do the right thing, but we trust God for the outcome. All right, Pamela, you're next in Arizona. What do you think about this thing called money?
Well, I am like many people. I grew up not being trained by my parents in how to handle money. And I struggled with it for many years. I tried Crown Financial. They were too left-brained for me. I'm a very right-brained artist type person. So I found Financial Peace University really helped me. They taught me how to be in control of my money rather than the money being in control of me. And I do a budget. I do it in Excel on my computer. I know what I have. I save year-round for my homeowner's insurance, auto insurance, medical expenses. So I have these savings accounts set up in my credit union where I actually use those to save money that I'm going to need at a later time. But I'm very careful. I am retired. I live on Social Security and a small pension. And I am able to still give to the Lord's work. For that gentleman, I would like to urge him to go to one of the financial peace classes with his wife at a church. Yep. Where they can hear other couples talk and share what they've gone through and how they manage it. And just having somebody else say the things that he wants to say takes the pressure off of him. Mm. And it would set him free so that maybe his wife will begin to get a different perspective. Because I think she's probably like I was. She probably wasn't ever trained by her parents in how to manage money.
So the right brain part of it for you was more hearing the stories and being encouraged?
Very visual, very expressive. And so if it's just pragmatic numbers, it was really hard for me. But the way that it's presented in Financial Peace University with humor, with stories, it just made it easier for me to do.
I agree with you. And a lot of churches run that program, and I know it's helped a lot of people.
A lot of them do, and I think it's a great way when couples come from very different viewpoints that they get on the same page together. Thankfully, I had had some of this training when I got married many years ago, because my husband couldn't budget. If he got money in his hands, it was gone. And so we had to sit down and negotiate through it all, and I got him sitting down with me doing the budget. And he had a certain amount of money in his pocket, but he could spend that however he wanted. But when it came to the rest of the money, it had to be according to our budget so that we could pay our bills.
Hello, this is Lisa calling from Phoenix. And I just wanted to share with my listening brothers and sisters that you should never give up hope as far as your finances and your debts are concerned, but you should instead take heart and take control of your finances first by tithing or setting aside a tenth of your earnings for giving, and then to slowly but surely start paying down your debt. So we were able to pay off all of our $27,000 in credit card debt in a matter of, I think it was 22 months. We felt very good about doing that. To God be the glory, and be encouraged. You can do it too.
Hey, listen, you got a lot of encouragement this half hour. I know I did on this topic of money. Don't let it rule your life. You can start today to defang it, okay? Especially if you do it together in your marriage. But you got to start. That's the big thing. Wrapping up Intentional Living for today, what do you think? What have you learned? Tell us a story. Give us your one thing at 888-888-1717. Special word of thanks again to our members, those of you who are praying for us, supporting us on a regular basis. You guys are managing your money in a way to say you were being generous, and thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. It makes a big difference for the kingdom. People's lives are being changed. Tomorrow, here's the question on the show. Do you have some irregular people in your life? I don't mean people that have an irregular problem, you know, with their stomach. I'm talking about people who are just difficult. We call them irregular people. Maybe they cause irregular in your life. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. I hope you'll come and join us. How do you deal with that irregular, difficult person in your life intentionally? I'm Dr. Randy. Gotta run. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living, the Ministry of Intentional Life Media.